and welcome back to another episode of Half and Half. I'm Dana.
And I'm Steph.
And this is the podcast where we discuss pulp culture topics, except Steph and I surprise each other each week to keep the conversation genuine and fun. And today is our Halloween episode.
Ooh,
yeah. Spooky.
I love Halloween.
No, me too.
As we're recording this, today is October 30th, so it's really Halloween for us.
Yeah, still technically during Halloween.
Halloweekend.
But when this is uploaded, it will no longer be Halloween.
It's okay. It's still fall.
Be decorating for Christmas.
Oh my God. Yeah, our local grocery store, they took out all of the Halloween and fall decorations and like put in Christmas stuff.
2 weeks before Halloween.
Yeah, so long ago. So I feel like it's already passed.
Yeah, I know. I've been waiting for Christmas now. I like don't even feel like it's Halloween this weekend.
I know.
Still exciting.
Yeah, the costumes are so fun.
No, yeah. I was a mermaid yesterday for Halloween.
Very cute. I was a generic fairy on my own. I was part of the Winx Club, but by myself. Just fairy.
That's all right. Still cute in that way, too. Mm-hmm. This week, our episodes are geared towards Halloween's spooky theme, but still kind of related to pulp culture.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if everyone's seen this movie, The Conjuring, the classic horror film. There's been, like, 8 different movies of it.
Yeah, it's like
including
a whole...
like Annabelle and stuff like that, because that's in the same Conjuring universe.
I was gonna say it's like a cinematic universe.
Yeah,
now.
It is. But every movie terrifies me.
Mm-hmm.
So I wanted to talk about the real story behind that film, because it is apparently very accurate, according to the demonologists who experienced that and then also saw the film.
I didn't know it was like a true story. Like a lot of us, you know how horror films are usually like, oh, based on a true story, and it was like somebody had a similar experience, maybe like really minorly one night, and they just like amp it up. No, like that's what I thought it was.
No, me too. So the people who looked into this paranormal activity event were Ed and Lorraine Warren, who are like self-proclaimed demonologists who went to all these houses. Like they did the Annabelle thing, they did the Conjuring houses, a bunch of other things, and they own this house or something that has all the items related to the possessions.
Yeah, I've seen that before.
Yeah, no,
it's like a creepy room in their garage.
They have
or something.
Annabelle in there. They have like different relics where people had performed exorcisms or something on there.
They just collect them?
Yeah, like that whole place.
That's crazy.
Bad omen. The Conjuring was based off of a true story of the Perrin family who lived in Rhode Island, where they had bought a farmhouse that had like 14 bedrooms.
That's huge.
They didn't even have that many children. Like they had 5 children or something.
What did they do with all the extra rooms?
I have no idea. I'm like, why would you buy that massive old house that's haunted? And oh, they stayed there for 10 years.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
That's a long time.
I know. I could not live there, especially with the things that they were saying were happening, which I will get to.
Yeah.
This story is mostly retold by Ed and Lorraine's haunting experience there. To give a little backstory on Ed and Lorraine, Ed was a World War II veteran and a former police officer who became a self-professed demonologist because he was interested in the subject and researched it. And then his wife, Lorraine, she claimed to be a medium who was capable of communicating with the demons that Ed discovered.
I'm curious if she was a medium before they became demonologists.
I know, or if she was like, oh, you're studying this now?
Yeah.
Like, let me be something too.
I don't know, maybe.
I'll be a medium.
Yeah, I'd love to know.
Yeah, I guess I should do more research on just them.
I feel like they're fascinating, like their biographies.
Yeah. Like, how have they experienced all this stuff and they were never like traumatized
by it? Are they still around? How long ago was this?
Well, Ed passed away in 2006, and then Lorraine was alive for a bit longer than that to, like, work on the Conjuring films.
Right.
Like, she helped with it, like, retelling.
Yeah.
I think she's passed away now, too.
It'd be fascinating to have met them.
I know, right? Especially because if I knew Lorraine was still alive, like, recently, that would have been so cool to just have a conversation with her.
Right? Yeah.
She has so many ghost stories. The Perrin family moved into the house in 1971, and the things that they would notice started kind of small. Like Carolyn, the mother, she would notice that the broom would go missing or it would move from place to place on its own, which is like not very paranormal to me at all.
Yeah, it's like one of those things that like adds up in hindsight. Yeah. But like at the time, it's just like, oh, somebody moved it. And yeah. I didn't notice it.
I know. Like I wouldn't even think of like it was a ghost. And then the broom's
on a different door.
Yeah. She would hear like the sound of something scraping against the kettle in the kitchen or something like that. Mm-hmm. And then she'd just clean the kitchen floor and she would find dirt piles, like small dirt piles. But like she has five kids.
Yeah.
Like,
but like in a neat pile, that is yeah, a little weird.
I know.
Maybe like, the kids were just having fun.
Even if it was a ghost, that'd be an annoying ghost. Just like,
like they're very messing particular with you about what kind of mess they make. Yeah. Like it has to be like a neat pile in the corner.
But yeah, that would just be an annoying ghost. Like it wouldn't even do anything. It's just bothering you.
Yeah. Just messing with you.
Things started to escalate. The girls, like the daughters, they began to notice spirits around the house, but they were saying that for the most part they were harmless. Mm-hmm. So
were they like they saw ghosts? Is that what you mean? Yeah, by spirits?
Like I guess so. They didn't really describe what they would see, like if it was a actual figment of like a human or if it was just like light moving around the house, because that could also be I don't know.
Interpreted as a spirit.
Yeah. Apparently they were harmless. But the mom allegedly researched the history of the home and discovered that it had been in the same family for 8 generations.
8 generations?
Yes.
That's a lot of people.
And apparently a lot of them have, like, died under mysterious or horrible circumstances.
Oh, no.
Yeah. I can't go into detail. It's pretty gruesome, but if you want to look it up later...
Yeah,
it's very suspicious. Like I would not want to live in that house.
Yeah, that's very ominous.
Either the house is like bad luck or the family just had very bad
I wonder
experiences.
Like 8 generations is a long time to stay in that house if that was like I wonder what pushed them to sell it in the first place.
Well, maybe all the weird horrible deaths.
Well, that's what I mean. But they stayed there for 8 generations. Like, oh my god.
They really
took them a while. Loved
the house still.
The 14-room farmhouse.
It makes no sense to me, but...
14-bedroom.
Yeah, 14.
Bigger than that, yeah.
Yeah.
Crazy. I don't know why I'm stuck on that.
It had 14 bedrooms?
Oh, no.
But apparently there was this bad spirit named Bathsheba. And after doing a little research, they found out that someone who had lived there before them was actually named Bathsheba as well. And she was, like, known in the town to be kind of crazy and was suspected of, you know, being, like, a murderer. So, I don't know. Maybe that makes sense that the worst spirit there would be Bathsheba.
Yep.
Because the girls... One of the daughters described that spirit as being kind of like the mom of the house. So,
oh, like everybody was like, sorry, you explain it.
Like when the mom moved in, Caroline, the parent family mom, she was being like tormented by this ghost.
Oh.
Because apparently this bad spirit was like the mother figure or like didn't want her house messed with. Yeah.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
Which is weird. Over the 10 years that that family lived in that house, which is, feels like forever. Like,
that is a long time.
Why would you stay there that long if you're seeing spirits and, like, you're, this one evil spirit is tormenting you?
Yeah, like, the harmless ones, like, that's fine.
Yeah.
But if you're being tormented...
It's just, it makes no sense.
Yeah.
Over the 10 years that the family lived in the house, the Warrens made multiple trips to investigate. And at one point, Lorraine conducted a seance to attempt to contact the spirits that were possessing the family. Okay. So this is where, 'cause in the movie, it showed Ed and Lorraine doing an exorcism. But Lorraine made it very obvious that they didn't do that.
That's the point where she draws the line. Yeah.
Like, she was like, this movie is pretty accurate to what happened, except we did not do an exorcism. We'll leave that to the priests.
Man.
So they did a seance to kind of attempt to contact the spirits. So during the seance, Caroline Perrin, the mom, became possessed and was speaking in tongues and rising from the ground in her chair.
Oh, rising is, from the ground in her chair.
Yeah, which is pretty freaky. I mean, I don't know. I'm a little skeptic about this, but...
Yeah, I feel like just the rising from the ground in the chair is harder to fake than, like, speaking in tongues. But also, who are the witnesses? Like, her, the Ed demonologists, Lorraine, and
the whole family was there, yeah.
Okay, so that's a lot of people.
Yeah. It's just Carolyn lifting her chair, speaking in tongues. Like,
pretending to hover.
I would totally do that. Like, if just my to family... prank your family. But kept it going, just never told anyone that I was faking it. Oh my god,
that's such a funny secret to take to your grave.
Well, honestly, I'm like, it's so hard to think about because obviously I've never had an experience like that,
mm-hmm.
like doing a seance and getting possessed. So it's so hard for me to believe that this actually happened.
Yeah, but that's like hypnotism to me. Like, I would love to be hypnotized. Ed and
Lorraine
so
are just hypnotists. They've been the hypnotizing theory.
That's an interesting theory.
They've been hypnotizing everyone, thinking that, and then just taking a little souvenir every time taking they leave someone's house.
Like, they take, like, a trinket off their shelf and be like, this was haunted.
This was the demon in your house.
Oh my god.
That'd be so funny. Like, they just tricked the whole world.
By hypnotizing people. That's an interesting one.
Oh my gosh. But yeah, so after that happened, Roger, who is the husband... He kicked the Warrens out because he thought, like, he was worried about his wife's mental stability and didn't want anything to happen with that again.
Yeah, I do feel like possession would really derail you a little bit.
Yeah. Apparently, Carolyn, like, she remembers what happened in that moment. Like, she remembers rising up and, like, speaking in tongues. I don't know.
What do you think she said?
I don't even know. Like, I wish that people recorded this stuff in the past because I would want to see that. Like, what was she saying?
Would have been a little intense of a setup in the 70s.
Yeah.
Actually, if this was 10 years later.
Well, the seance happened not 10 years since they moved in. Oh, like, they lived there 10 years collectively. For a period of 10 years,
totally. Okay, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Fair but, enough. Yeah, so it probably happened mid-70s or something like that.
Yeah.
Who knows, honestly, but it's pretty, like, there's not many details about this, which makes me want to, like, learn more.
Yeah.
I'm so curious.
I'd be curious, too.
But, yeah, so after that, after he kicked them out, apparently, according to Andrea, which is one of the daughters, the family continued to live in the house due to financial instability until they were able to move out in 1980. At which point the spirits were silenced and the hauntings ceased. But as I was, like, looking up this thing, I saw that there's a family that, like, or not a family, like, a couple that currently lives there.
They live there?
Yeah, and they're, like, ghost hunters, too, or
that
something.
That makes sense.
Yeah, so obviously they'd want to live there, but they think it's still haunted.
Interesting.
I know.
I wonder what experiences they've had.
Yeah, I want to know. Like, they didn't really talk about it, but... They were just like, yeah, we live here. There's things happening.
Maybe they just have the friendly ghosts now.
Even just the fact that an 8-generation family lived there.
Yeah, even the history of the house is freaky. Yeah. Not to mind the hauntings.
You should look up, when you're researching this case or looking it up after, if you're interested, you should look up the first ever or the oldest photo of this house because it's so, like, haunting. Like, I got chills looking at the photo, and I just, like, I get weird looking at old photos just because they look so haunting, and you're like, oh my god, these people are like 200 years old or not even 200 years old, but it's been a while since the first camera was made.
It's like those recolored like old films from the war or just like the 1800s or whatever.
It just gives me chills, like goosebumps
because so cool, it makes it feel real, but then it doesn't, like, in my mind it's like hard to fathom.
But yeah, the photo of this house, you can tell it's like an old house. Like,
oh my god,
there's been many things that have been happening there.
That's a long time for it to be like the same house standing still.
I know, it's so weird. Like, I wonder, I didn't even get to see an image of what the house looks like now with the couple currently living in it, but I wonder if they completely, like, reconstructed it or if it's the same.
Like, I feel like if they wanted it to be, I don't know, I feel like every time that I hear, like, a ghost story or, like, a haunting or something, it's never, it has not been renovated. Like, you can't, there's something about renovation that ghosts just disappear.
I know. so bad. But yeah, that, I don't know, this, it just freaks me out that the film is so accurate to it. Mm-hmm. But all right, well, we'll wrap up and move on to the next topic after a short break. And welcome back from the break. Ooh. Hopefully you guys were able to digest the story I just said.
So we'll scary.
Moving on to Steph's topic now.
Okay, before I start, Dana, I want to know, do you believe in ghosts?
I don't know. Like, it's so weird for me because, okay, if it's a yes or no, I'll just say no.
Okay.
I'm not very, like, I don't know, I don't believe in those kind of things.
Like, just paranormal things in general?
Yeah. Okay. Like, it's hard for me to, like, fathom that or, like, find reasoning for that, I guess.
Yeah. Fair enough. For my topic, I wanted to talk about Harry Houdini.
Oh.
Who died on Halloween, actually.
I didn't know he died on Halloween.
Died on Halloween. And he...
That's kind of iconic.
I know, right? I mean, he kind of... It was not a great death.
No.
But
no, it wasn't.
Very fitting for it to be on Halloween.
Yeah.
Yeah, he also very strongly did not believe in ghosts.
Oh.
Or, to be more specific, spiritualism. So, everybody knows who Houdini was. And he was married to, I believe her name is Bess. But she went by Bess Houdini after they got married. And Harry Houdini, like, really, really strongly opposed spiritualism, so seances and mediums,
yeah,
and stuff like that.
I remember that.
Because in part he thought it was just like people taking advantage of people who were grieving and suffering and like sort of frauding them out of money.
Mm-hmm.
And because they were so vulnerable, like, it just worked and people would believe in it.
Yeah.
And also because it sort of overlapped with his area of work and like illusions and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And it sort of like degraded what he was doing in a way to him, because it was like they weren't acknowledging that it was an illusion or like some like thing that they set up and came up with the way that he did, or like other magicians would do. Mm-hmm. They were just like pretending that it was spiritual. He kind of dedicated a lot of his like life and time to this, and he actually so Sir Arthur Conan Doyle, mm-hmm, the guy who wrote Sherlock, he was like really for spiritualism. He really believed it, so they had kind of like a back and forth publicly a lot about it. And Arthur Conan,
it's kind of interesting how the author of Sherlock would
believe it. Yeah,
think that, because Sherlock's all about like the little
logic
tips
and
like,
yeah,
I don't know,
I know, it is
being very analytical.
I was very surprised to learn that. Yeah.
Yeah,
but his wife was a medium, or like she would hold seances and stuff.
See. Just supporting the wife.
Maybe, honestly. But like, they were trying to convince Houdini that it was a real thing.
Yeah.
And so the way that she would, like, her preferred method of communicating with the dead was, I forget what the proper name for it was, but it was just like she would be possessed, sort of, and she would write, like the dead would write through her, is what she did. So she was
so
they were trying to convince Houdini that ghosts were real and that spirits existed.
Yeah.
And so they invited him over to hear from his mother, to like have a seance with,
mm-hmm,
this medium. And they were trying to communicate with his mother because she was very important to him, and he had spoken about how like that was part of the reason why he wanted to like point out that spiritualism was a fraud, because it was so like personal to him. And so he goes through this seance where she does the writing, and he gets this message from his mother, and it seems like it goes well, and they think that he's so moved by it.
Yeah.
Then they leave, and he continues to sort of publicly like just say how spiritualism is a fraud and like try to disprove
it
and stuff.
So he basically just wasn't buying it the whole time.
Not at all. So then they were like, why? Like, you seemed like so moved. And it was apparently because the whole letter was written in English. and his mother did not speak or write or read English, apparently, is what I've read.
Oh my gosh.
And it also, he also said, like, there was a cross drawn at the top of every page, and he was like, my mother would not have done that. Like, that was not something that she would have done. So, it just sort of proved his case even more.
Yeah.
Even though they were trying to do the opposite.
Oh my gosh. He totally knew, too. That's why he said yes.
I know,
right? He was like, yeah, I'll do it.
Yeah.
Because she only speaks, like, what?
I believe they were Hungarian.
Oh, I see.
But yeah, that's just so funny that he didn't say anything. He, like, pretended to be sincere about it.
Yeah. Oh my gosh.
Yeah, like, left
they were probably, like, the husband and wife were probably just like, we did it.
I know.
We did it.
We single-handedly convinced him. But yeah, like, he fully lobbied the government and, like, the public to, like, pass laws that banned spiritualism and stuff like that. Like, it was, like, a fight for him.
Mm-hmm.
It was very serious. And he would take, like, there were these things that were, like, there were supposed to be ghost photos that were taken at funerals or stuff like that. And they were usually done with double exposure.
Yeah.
But he would go and take them and use it as, like, a proof because people knew that he didn't believe in it. So they were like, oh, if you see this photo of him with the ghost, like, obviously it's not real.
Yeah.
Because he, like, is proving that it's not, you know? So yeah. There's, like, ones of him with, like, in air quotes, like, Abraham Lincoln and, like, stuff like that. And they're so, mm-hmm. they kind of look really funny. Because the people are in costume and they look so serious, but they're just double exposures. Because people had, like, learned how to do that with cameras, but it wasn't such, like, a public thing yet, I guess.
Yeah.
That people would know that you could do that so easy.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. So there's all of these, like, things that he did to fight against it for, like, 35 years or something. This was a thing.
He was so intensely passionate about just de-rigging these, like, mediums and seances and stuff like that. That's crazy.
That was his life.
Imagine being so passionate about, like, hating that one thing.
Yeah, it must have been such, like, a negative thing in his life. Like, he comes home after a show and he's like, those spiritualists. Yeah.
Just rants to his wife every night. She's like, I can't take this anymore.
Oh god. I think she was, like, kind of part of it. I'll get to that in a minute.
Oh, okay.
Anyway, so all of this is background. That's what he spent a lot of his time doing.
Mm-hmm.
And then he died on Halloween in Detroit after one of his shows because he actually... So he did a show and then he was rushed to the hospital because he collapsed after the curtain was drawn. And they found that he had a burst appendix and it had been burst for days.
Oh. How did he not notice?
He had, like, pain and stuff. He just didn't acknowledge it.
Oh.
Because a few
days
prior...
That's, like, a terrible pain, though.
Yeah.
Like, how...
Well, it was because, you know the story, a few days prior, he was in Montreal and a McGill student punched him in the stomach because...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he had, like...
I remember that. Yeah. But he wasn't, like...
ready.
Flexing
He was, like,
whatever.
Sitting on a couch or something.
And
the student came up to him and was like, is it true that you can, like, withstand punches to the gut? Because it was, like, part of one of his acts or something.
Yeah.
And he was like, yeah. And then the guy did it without warning. So he was already, like, his stomach was already in pain.
Oh.
So then when he had a burst appendix,
so he just,
like, he
thought
wouldn't
it
have
was
noticed.
That. Yeah.
Yeah. It's possible that the punches, like, caused the burst appendix, but it's also possible that it was going to happen anyway.
Yeah, and that just furthered
he
the
just, like,
process.
That's why he ignored it.
Oh.
Yeah. But yeah, so you know when your appendix bursts, it can poison your other organs?
Yeah.
So that's what happened. And that's what the death was officially declared as.
Yeah.
Yeah, so he had a surgery. It didn't work. And then he held out until Halloween. And he died on Halloween in Detroit. And so before he died, him and Bess had sort of publicly declared that they were going to... whoever died first, the other one would attempt to contact them every year. To prove or disprove that ghosts were real, because they were like, okay, we don't think that it's a real thing and spiritualism is fake. That's our belief, but we will do our best. If it's possible after death, we will try to contact the other one living. We promise, if it's possible, to prove it or disprove it. Yeah. Like, that was their thing, and they were very public about it.
Yeah.
So then every year after his death, I believe on Halloween, like on the anniversary of his death, Bess would hold a seance and try to contact him. And
what was it? Like, they had a secret word or something?
There was something like that, yeah. but she would, like, hold a public thing. And it was, like, something that people would come to. But she did it for a decade, and he never once responded to her. She never got any communication from beyond the grave.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, so then 10 years after she started doing it, she was like, she just declared it over, and she was like, I'm not doing this anymore. We've proven our point. There's no, like, communication between the dead and the living.
Yeah.
But people still kept it up. They continue to do it to this day. On Halloween, they try to contact Houdini. Yeah.
Oh my god.
So much.
Maybe
so.
He's just like silent. Like, yeah, if there is contact, and he's just like, nope.
Yeah, he's like, I have to prove angry. My point.
He's mad that it's true.
Well, the fact that people conduct seances, which is the thing that he hated so much in life, on his death, the anniversary of his death every year. Like, I feel like he would be rolling in his grave.
Yeah.
Like, it was like totally an accidental consequence of like trying to disprove it.
He's like, damn it, I didn't mean for this to happen.
Yeah, he like kind of made it worse.
Yeah. Oh my gosh.
But yeah, people do it to the extent where you're not allowed to visit his grave on Halloween. It's like closed for Halloween because people will conduct the seances. Yeah.
Oh,
so Houdini's grave is closed on October 31st every year.
Only October 31st.
Only October 31st. Isn't that funny?
Why do they have to do it, like, on the day that he died?
I think it's just because that was the day that they did it. Like, oh. Well, that was the day he died, so it's like...
They think they'll reach him the most.
Yeah, and day. I also think that's the day that they did it every year when Bess was doing it.
Oh, I see.
Because it was the anniversary of his death. But yeah. Isn't that's that crazy. Fascinating?
Yeah. Oh my gosh.
Yep.
That's so funny to me that, like, even through death, they're still, like, sticking to it.
I know, right?
Like, it's not real.
Yeah, I know. I, like, have half a mind to be, like, even if he could communicate with her, he just wouldn't.
Yeah. Yeah, I know.
Proving a point.
Yeah. Like, if there was that connection, like, between the living and the dead, he'd just stay silent.
Yeah, I know. He'd be like, I get one win.
His wife's dead, too, right?
Yeah, she passed away years after that, but yeah, this was I believe he died in, actually I shouldn't say because I don't know, but yeah, mid-1900s.
Wow.
Yeah, crazy story. And also there's been a lot of like conspiracies and speculation about whether his death was actually accidental because of like the many enemies and like public stance that he took on spiritualism, which obviously has its own like very strong backing and like proponents, like Sir Arthur Conan Doyle like believed in it so strongly. So there was a lot of speculation about if it was really an accident or if it was planned.
But can just imagine all the theories on that. Yeah. Like,
in my opinion, I think that's just like a product of circumstance. Like,
I
really think that would not be the way that you would try to like get rid of Houdini.
Yeah.
Like, that's such like a public way to do it.
I know.
So
I don't know.
Yeah.
Let's see. But yeah, like talking about mediums and stuff, and on the topic of like trying to like get rid of those people, I guess, or like say that it's fake. There've been so many attempts at like fooling mediums and stuff like that, but at the same time I'm like, some of them are so good, like I'm like, how do they even fabricate like the ideas or whatever, because
they're really quick on their feet if it's fake.
Like there was this one medium that would explain how she would use like jewelry pieces or whatever that people were wearing to kind of like figure things out. I'm like, how do you even do that? Like, I could not.
You'd have just to be like, so observant.
That's a nice gold bracelet. But was it like, from your mom who's dead?
Yeah.
Like, no, that would not work for me.
Did you ever watch Long Island Medium?
No, but it looks so funny, the show. God.
You would like it just for like the reality TV.
I know. I'm a sucker for reality TV.
But yeah, those ones were like, I mean, I don't, you have no idea if they were staged or not because it was a TV show, but she would like walk into a store and like find someone in an aisle and be like, did somebody who was like wearing red on the day that they died, like die who was close to you and they were like your uncle or something? Like, it would be like crazy specific.
That's the part that I don't get. I'm like, how?
I mean, I'm sure they didn't include the times when she went up to somebody and they were like, no.
She just goes up to TV. Everyone in the store.
Says the same thing to them.
Finally someone's like, okay, yes, fine.
She's like, yes. We got one. But
that's so funny.
Like, that's, I guess, what Houdini meant by it's so manipulative, because it's such a vulnerable thing.
That's true. I remember, I've probably told you the story before, but there was this girl at my camp who was saying that she was a medium, and she would go up to people talking about like their dead grandparents or something, and would make people cry.
Yeah.
And I'm like, you're literally 11. Like, how are you a medium?
You're literally 11.
We were young. Like, I was like, you're just making people cry at camp.
Yeah. It's definitely like a moral thing. Like, ethics of that are kind of twisted.
Yeah.
Because, on one hand, it does bring people comfort in a way, but it's also very much like, is it
so
worth
sad
it?
Sad, too. Yeah. But. Yeah, no, that's funny. Anyway. I forgot that aspect of Houdini, because I remember, I forget what I was doing, but I had to like search him up for some reason, and then I found that out too. Yeah. Like, he hates spiritualists.
It's such a crazy random thing. Like,
yeah.
it makes sense when you know the history of it and like why he felt like that, but just like it has nothing to do with magic at all. And what you think about when you think about Houdini.
So funny. He's just like a stuntman, and then.
Yeah, he just has this crusade against ghosts.
They should have really like promoted that side of him more. I find that hilarious.
Yeah. Oh man.
Probably anyway. At the time it was promoted, but
so that's my story.
That was interesting.
Thank you. A little bit of random Houdini facts.
All right. Well, that's the end of our Halloween episode.
Happy Halloween.
Happy Halloween. Hopefully everyone enjoyed their weekend celebrating. All right. We'll end off here.